Գումտրեք SPS հայերենը։ Հավելյալ հետաքրքրական հաղորդումներ կգտնեք վերկայքին վրա sps.com.au/armenian. A few days ago, Adelaide-based writer John Cox was in Sydney to launch his novel Angel of Aleppo. John is back in Adelaide, and to get more details about his novel and his future writing plans, let's welcome John to our program. John, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Hi. Thank you for that warm welcome, and I'm happy to be here.
John, you just returned from Sydney. It's a long drive where you launched your novel. Could you give your impressions about the book launch and your meetings with members of Sydney's Armenian community?
Yeah, well, it was a very pleasant experience. It was great. I had worked for a while beforehand with Mrs. Nora Bastagian, who is the chair of the Hamaskayin Literary Society, one of the many committees of Hamaskayin in Sydney, and people on her committee. I had a number of like Zoom meetings with them and all of that, and it was really good. They covered all the bases. So when Lilith and I arrived, you know, we had the Armenian Cultural Center was more or less set up. Everyone was ready. They went through all the protocols. There was a young dancer I had contacted and got to perform the Mush dance as a part of the presentation. And we had time to rehearse all of that, and it was great. So organizational was, you know, spot on. And they had His Eminence, the Archbishop Haigazoon Najarian presence, and Father Avajiz Badzumian also representing, the spiritual side of the community, and some other, significant faces in the Armenian crowd there. So it was all good, and, we were very happy with the organisation.
John, so far you launched your book in Adelaide and Sydney. Any plans to launch the book in Melbourne or other cities?
Well, we haven't launched in Adelaide yet, but we are going to this week for the first. We've got three events. Yes, we are going to come to Melbourne. That's our plan. Nothing is sort of set up for that yet, but I'm sure that the Melbourne people, the counterparts to the Sydney people, will do a great job in setting it all up when the time comes. In the interim, we have a launch on this coming Thursday night, May 27, at the Burnside Town Hall. You know, tickets are still available for that. You know, in these COVID days, you've got to actually sort of lock in your presence. And, of course, they're capped. Although Burnside Town Hall is a big space, and I think that we can have over 100. So that'd be great if I get that many. It'd be sensational. And we also have one here in the town where I live, Mount Barker, in the Adelaide Hills. That's in the Mount Barker Library. That's our local one, so that will feature a lot of my local friends and associates and possibly some of my former students. I hope to see a few of them there because I'm a retired teacher and I was at Mount Barker High School for 10 years. A number of the former students are aware of it, and I'm hoping to see some of them. And then finally, we have one at Port Adelaide It's in a friend's bar in Port Adelaide. That'll be interesting. Won't be a big one, but a whole lot of people who live in the western suburbs will attend that one. And so, you know, I'm really going all out to get it out there and hoping to see the Sydney launch appear digitally fairly soon. You know, the recording of the Sydney launch is going to go up on Hamaskayin Literary Society Facebook page, along with a link to buy the book. Obviously, this is intended for Armenians further afield and overseas and all the rest, so that they can see my launch remotely at least and have an easy sort of path to click through to buy the book.
John, how the idea of the novel came to you? Were you thinking about it for a long time, or any particular event triggered it?
Well, yes. There's a lot of things I was thinking about. Firstly, it's It's my wife's story, you know, in many ways. My wife, Lilith, is Armenian-born. Long story short, we met online in 2009. I went to Armenia to meet her in person. She came here, we got married, and in that period of time, I had already learned about the Armenian genocide, and I had, prior to knowing Lilith, I knew very little about Armenia. I knew a bit about Armenia, former Soviet Republic and that sort of thing. I might have heard the words Armenian genocide without really knowing a hell of a lot about it. But once I got to know Lilith, and once I'd been to Armenia, and once I'd studied Armenian history a little bit, you know, it came to me with a massive sledgehammer blow. My God, these people have suffered like few others have suffered. And it really sort of affected me profoundly, you know, in an emotional level and all the rest. When I got a good look at the grinding poverty I saw in parts of the Yerevan, and I realized when I was there for the first time, and again the second time, before the Velvet Revolution, I realized what a corrupt government there was, and how, you know, like it was a handful of very wealthy, and then everyone else was poor to very poor. You know, and they've suffered ever since the genocide. I thought, I was appalled at that. And it's now, you know, the book comes from the play, which was in 2015. I wrote a play at the end of 2014 to commemorate the centenary of the genocide. And I put it to the very tiny Armenian community here in Adelaide that we could actually stage this play as a commemoration. And they balked at the idea at first. They were a little bit afraid of, you know, what it took, because no one had any idea. But I reminded them I am a drama teacher, because I was still working then, and I have written plays and I know what I'm doing. So I have an idea for a play, and I guarantee you I'll write a script by the end of the year, and then we will rehearse it and so on. And long story short, we did. And so the play went on in 2015, and by that stage, the committee had gained the interest of Hamas Kai Chant in Sydney, and some money, towards production costs was forthcoming, and that helped us out with the theatre hire and that sort of thing. So we had a little season in leading up to April 24, which was a Friday night in 2015, and we finished on the Saturday. And it was very well received. A whole lot of people came who knew nothing about the Armenian genocide and were profoundly impressed. Some people were quite moved. And we had a very successful opening night, and some of our Sydney people came, and they were delighted. And long story short, again, they invited us to Sydney, and we performed it there. To big acclaim, it went really well. We had Gladys Berejiklian, no less, in the audience, although she wasn't the premier then, but, you know, all the kind of Armenian bigwigs in Sydney were. And when the show was all over and we were back in Adelaide, Lilith and I looked at each other and we said, this isn't over. There's more. There's more to this. Unfinished business. You know, Armenia is an analogy for every unimportant figure brushed aside by a bigger and more powerful entity, whose decisions are usually like transactional. There has to be something in the bigger entity to help the smaller entity, or they're not going to be bothering. And so Armenia's problem in part is the fact that it's small, doesn't have influence, and doesn't have any kind of bargaining power. So, that bothered me a lot. And the notion of humanitarianism in an increasingly transactional world, you know, I'm not religious at all, but, you know, I have, I'm a bit of a lapsed Anglican, went to church when I was a kid because I sort of had to, but I learned a bit about the Gospels, and Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But these days, the political climate is more like do unto others as they would do unto you, you know, payback, revenge narrative, whether it's sport, politics, or human relationships. and nowhere more apparent than in the current political climate, and nowhere more apparent than in the black and white kind of sporting narratives of the football codes. And there's a whole lot less of the paying it forward, looking out for somebody, helping them with no thought of reward. And all of these factors kind of motivated me to thinking, I want to write this book. I thought about writing it as a book, and the idea just became more and more irresistible. So I began while I was still teaching and worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And then retired from teaching, and I still wasn't done. I tried submitting it to traditional publishers probably too soon. Didn't get any luck. But, you know, again, cutting to the chase, I finally polished it to the point where I think it is, you know, really, it's a polished work now. And I decided to self-publish, and I decided to wear the cost and the risk and just do it. And the people in Sydney were more than delighted that I had done it and made the effort to go there. And Lilith and I feel very happy that we have. And, you know, the journey has just started. So, you know, there's quite a lot of adventure to come.
So the novel is based on your play, Journey to Fate?
Yes, Journey of Faith, yeah. Yeah, there's a Journey of Faith, the play, had two older characters, an older Armenian woman and an older Turkish man, and they have a confrontation in front of the war memorial on North Terrace in Adelaide. And so the novel begins kind of more or less where the play began. And then the latter part of where the play went, you know, the latter part of the interaction between the two, that's right near the end of the novel. And, of course, the interleaving nearly 300 pages are, of course, Anush's story, Anush being the protagonist, the central character, the eponymous angel of Aleppo. And, there's a lot of fleshing out of the initial ideas and a lot more research and a lot more shaping and reshaping the narrative. But, you know, in the end, I'm very happy with it as a representation of the play's original idea. And on the cover, you've got the Armenian the forget-me-nots, you know. It's the shape of the memorial at Tita Nakhabert, and it gives me my inspiration. I've been there twice, Tita Nakhabert. And the forget-me-not flower is the most potent symbol of the genocide. And so that is the central image on the cover. And I think it should speak to all Armenians. And people who aren't Armenian will be intrigued by it, I think. And so I'm hoping that, you know, people aren't going to be disappointed about no image of the beautiful young woman on the cover, because no artist is going to capture how Anush must look, how she looks in my mind. Every reader gets to work out what Anush looks like for themselves, which is the beauty of the printed word. And it is a memorable tale, and it becomes more memorable with all the research that I did, because I planted real-life characters in there, and like Henry Morgenthau, Armin T. Wegner, the German humanitarian. So you've got the consul to the U.S. consul to the Ottoman Empire gets to speak in his voice, and so does the great German humanitarian who documented so much of the genocide and for whom, you know, we are indebted for the bulk of the decent photographs that remain of the genocide. There's them, and there's also the unsung but very significant figure of Reverend James Creswell from Adelaide, who spearheaded the post-war Armenian relief effort that came out of Australia, and it was a big effort. Now, a lot of money raised, a lot of, you know, clothes, blankets, all sorts of things, primarily for orphans. And the establishment of an orphanage in Antelias in Beirut, which Creswell himself visited in 1923. So I've got some real-life characters populating the pages, and the important ones get to sort of speak in their own narrative voice. I've got Anush narrating in first person the chapter. This is a decision I arrived at after about 16 drafts. So Anush tells you like she's sitting down telling you the story at the kitchen table. And every other chapter is a shorter chapter in the voice of a different character, one of the significant characters who interacts with Anush. The only exception is the Morgenthau, who does make an oblique reference to the Angel of Aleppo. But, the novel from the play, it has subsumed my life to a fair degree, in a way that is very good. I'm very happy with.
Kuzesil sel në mamba funksioner, ungën tre Apple Podcasti, Google Podcasti, Spotify-vra, gam kur dërgon vore podcastet këllëses.